Good. Tonight, it's a little strange without having our pastor here and Brother Art here and Brother Mike here tonight. So you're kind of stuck with me tonight. I'm a little bit entertaining, sometimes funny. But Pastor wanted me to relay this to you. He's going to be at, I think, at 7, it's about 8:30 our time. He'll be in their service in Mexico. And he said it's been fantastic. Great services, great results out there. It's a great spirit. And so he wanted you to know this, so he asked me to pass this on to y'all. The team is doing just fantastic out in Mexico. And I know Pastor is he supposed to come back, Miss Joanne, tomorrow? So they'll be flying back tomorrow. Pray for traveling mercies, safety, and so forth. But I'm sure on Sunday they'll have a lot of great stories to tell. So let's just keep them in prayer tonight. We are going to have a prayer meeting tonight. I'm going to ask a couple men to pray, and then I'll close tonight. But we'll go through some prayer requests as we do, or usually do. So I like to start off sometimes with something humorous. So let me see what I have in my pocket here to get us in the mood if we can. If you will help me do this, this is kind of unusual to ask you to do this because I like talking, I like corny jokes. So if I tell you the first part of the joke, and you say out loud, what is it? I'll give the answer. So let's try that tonight. 1, 2, 3. That's a little weak. All right, let's try that again. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's try this. Why do seagulls, I can't even say it. Why do seagulls fly over the sea? Because if they flew over a bay, they would be called bagels. All right, I'll try one more. I promise. That's it. Let's see here. Oh, I like this one. You'll like this one. All right, what do you call a pig that does karate? A pork chop. All right, enough of that. Turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians 1:6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Doesn't that make you feel better on Wednesday night? Get a laughing out of your system a little bit and relax a little bit. All right. Give me a second here. I'm going to take a sip. You'll notice right here I have a T on my cap of my bottle, just in case someone gets confused. All right, that's a joke. I don't mean that. No one's going to take a sip up here. All right, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and listen carefully as I read. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So I want you to look at that very phrase at the beginning. Being confident of this very thing. Tonight, we're going to talk about born-again, Bible-believing Christians. And there's something, we all have this one thing, this one very thing, if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. We all have it. So we're going to talk about that tonight, just for a few short moments. I won't preach real long. But let's look at what this word has to say about it tonight. I think it's very important to us as Christians to know what God has in store for us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help me tonight. It's not very often that I preach to adults. Mostly I preach to children. But Lord, help me to be a blessing to these folks. The greatest people in the world sit in this room right now. The greatest church in this world is right here. The greatest pastor, assistant pastor, song director, just the folks that work in this church, they're the best. We are like a family. And help me, Lord, as just one of the family members. No one special, super special. Help me as a family member to be a blessing to the other family members tonight while our pastor is away on a great mission. Help me to be a blessing tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, I've talked some about my background, I think, at the last message, but I'll talk a little bit more tonight because I think it's very interesting. In fact, let's start off with the first part of this outline here. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. We're talking about this very thing. Even before the Lord says, this is what it is, I want you to be confident of it. I want you to be assured of this. Before I tell you the rest of the story, the rest of this, I want you to be confident. I want you to be assured. I don't want you to worry. When I was thinking of this passage, I actually had a different illustration that I was going to use with it. But the Lord spoke to me even last night and said, Tim, I think you need to talk about something else tomorrow. And so what He was impressing me was that day that I got saved, being confident, being assured. And if I remember correctly, if this were the orientation of the auditorium at North Valley, when I came forward down the aisle, this would be kind of the spot where it would be. Where Brother Kobanat, who's now in heaven now, who was a pastor for many years, he was a junior high youth director, and he took the Bible, and we both kneeled down at the altar, and he talked to me about salvation. And I got saved that moment. I mean, I'm trying to be exact, but I don't think it was 12:15. It could have been 12:18 in the afternoon on Sunday morning. But nonetheless, when I stood up, I was kneeling, and I prayed and received Christ. And as I stood up, the Tim that bowed down to pray and talk with Brother Kobanat and then stood up was a different person. I knew it immediately. Hey, something happened to me. I prayed and received Christ, asked Jesus to save me, but something happened to me. As the story goes, I left the auditorium after I did that, and a few people came up and said, hey, congratulations for getting saved. They saw me up there in the front, and they saw me praying, and Pastor Treber said, Mr. Tim Sparks over here is a teenager, and he just got saved, and people were excited and so forth, and I'm walking out the door. I'm headed for the bus. And if I'm walking out the door, that street right there is Clyde Avenue, and I'm going to walk this way. Because the entrance was a side entrance, not a back entrance. So I'm walking this way, and I'm walking down the sidewalk. And as I'm walking down the sidewalk, there were two men that I was behind. Two grown men. They're walking ahead of me. They had nice haircuts and all that kind of stuff, whatever. Looked sharp, clean cut, had church clothes on. But as I'm walking down the sidewalk, they turned and stopped. And the first one put his hand out and turned and shook my hand. His name was John Kellogg. Now, John was in the United States Navy. He was a crew member on P-3 anti-submarine aircraft. He was an officer. He was a lieutenant in the United States Navy. And beside him on my left, he put his hand out too, and he shook my hand. He said, my name is Jim Safner. He was an enlisted man in the Navy. I think he was a petty officer, E5 or so. And he shook my hand. Now, don't know these people. They just turned around and introduced themselves. But the next thing they said to me just totally blew me away. John said, "Hey, Tim, how would you like to come to church tonight?" Now, the Tim Sparks of 1979 was not like the Tim Sparks of today. I could honestly, when I shook their hand, I was looking down at the ground. I was very shy. And to say the least, that two total strangers that I had never met before, I just met them now, wanted to pick me up for church. And I knew how my mother was. She was very protective. She had this one of these sayings that, "Be careful, Tim. If you step off the curb, you might break your leg." You know, that from the old timey. So I said, "Sure." And that night at about 6 o'clock at night, or maybe 5:30 or so, we're there. Here comes John in his Toyota Celica with Jim in the front seat on the passenger side. And they led me in the car. I'm total stranger. They're total strangers. I don't know them from Adam. And we go to church. But I didn't realize at that moment, like I realize now, that these two guys were became like my brothers. Especially Jim. Now, my point is, in this message, God says, "I want you to be confident. I want you to be sure." And I'm going to explain this by point number two. Let's look at number two. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. So we said the first thing is confidence. The second thing is construction. At that moment when I met Jim and John Kellogg, it was part of the process, the first step in the process of Tim Sparks being constructed on the inside. And that process, we all as born-again Christians have that. God said this very thing is, "I will begin a good work in you." And he does it by sending people your way to talk to you, to invest in you, to help in you. He does it by the messages. He does it by the prayers. As God is working on the inside of you, it's changing you on the outside. You say, "Brother Tim, what does it have to do with me? I'm a full-grown adult and everything and about on my own." Because that process is the next step. Part of the process is number three. Look at number three. "That he which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." What is the day of Jesus Christ? When the rapture happens. It could be today, tomorrow, 20 years from now, a year, 30 years from now, who knows? But until that day comes, all of us in this room is being worked on. At this moment. Tim, Brother Tim, why do you preach this message to us that most of us are pretty well grown? The reason being is because a lot of us think we're on the shelf. Or some of us think we're on the shelf. And this passage, God says, "Look, wait a second. If you think you're on the shelf, you're wrong. But Brother Tim, I'm 50 this, I'm 60 that, I'm 30 this, I'm 40 that." You're not on the shelf. And the work that's being done on you is continuing at this moment. I hear this all the time. In fact, I'll tell you a story about one particular person. It reminds me, his name was I keep forgetting his first name, but his last name was Middleton. And to show you how old he was, when God did this for him in this life, direct him this path, is I went to school with his son in 1984. We were both freshmen at Hiles Anderson. He had 11 children. He was an oil worker. His whole job was to go from one oil well to another oil well and check it out and inspect it. And then he finally retired. I think he was like 62 or 63. His kids were all grown. And what did he do? He packed up, him and his wife, who are both retirement age. And the school that he sent his 11 children to, he sent him and his wife to at 62. He felt called, and he went. But hey, Brother Tim, he should just stay retired, and you know, he's too old. I want you to know something about that part of this. Let's see how this sounds to you. Being confident of this very thing, that he that is 20 years old, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it at the day of Jesus Christ. Does that sound right? Anybody here? I'm here. I don't see any age limit there. I don't see any status limit here. Brother Tim, I'm broke. Okay, join the club. I'm broke too. But that doesn't mean that God can't use me. I'm 56 years old. I know it's hard to believe. I know all you were saying, I look like 55. You're probably right. I look a little younger than 56. But God says, look, I don't have an age limit. I don't have a status limit for you to grow in the Lord and to do things for the Lord. I hope a lot of you folks that are senior citizens that can't go out and do visitation and stuff like that, get on that cell phone and start calling people you know that are unsaved. That's soul winning. That's telling people about Christ. Well, Brother Tim's on a cell phone. It's not face to face. It's okay. God will forgive you that you couldn't make it there and face to face and talk to somebody, but you talk to them on a cell phone and maybe they'll get saved. I'm thinking of a young man right now. He was young and I was young in those days. His name was Sean Luera. I used to be in a ministry at Hiles Anderson where we drove 85 miles each way to Purdue University. And all they did with us is say, okay, now here's some tracts, here's our New Testament, and they just dropped us off over there in that town, the city of Lafayette. And they just said, whoever you could find, or whoever you could see, whoever you made contact with, just give them the tract and give them the gospel. So being the kind of person I am, I wasn't afraid to go into a frat house. I didn't know any better. I was like 24 years old. So I go through the front door, and of course it's in the morning. There's nothing going on, good, bad, or ugly, because I think they're hungover or something. You know how that goes. But there was a young man in the living room, sitting by the window, just by himself. So I went over there and put my hand out and shook his hand, and I said, "My name's Tim Sparks. I'm here with the Purdue Ministry from Hiles Anderson in Hammond." And he said, "Hammond? That's a long ways away." I said, "Yeah, it's 85 miles each way." "So what are you doing?" And so we sat down there, and I sat down there and started talking to him. He started talking to me. We had a good conversation. I tried to get a little bit of the gospel in there, kind of grease it in there. He was trying to read a book, but the book of all books is what he needed. He was Catholic, a Catholic young man. So it started off okay. I said, "You know what, Sean, next week I'll be back over here. Would you mind if I came and visited you over here and talked to you some more? He said, sure. Next week comes, they drop me off with my Old Testament in my hand, a stack of tracts in my hand. I go over to the frat house, walk in the door, and sure enough, there's Sean. It's like, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. He's sitting there on the chair. I sat down with him. And this time, I went through the whole gospel with him. And to my shock, because, you know, he's Catholic, he's in a frat house and all this business, he bowed his head and prayed and received Christ. I said, wow, this is awesome. So I prayed with him, made sure he had assurance, and I said, I'll come back next week. This went on for like a month. But it is kind of tough to try to get people to come to church when it's 85 miles away. So I could only go as far as I could with Sean. But to this day, I keep thinking about him. You know, you never know if there's someone out there just like Sean that you're going to witness to. We can't be hemmed in by walls. It doesn't say anywhere in Matthew 28, 19, and 20 that we have to witness to everybody inside the walls and we can't witness to anybody outside the walls. The Bible says just go. And all of us could be used that way. God wants us to be used that way. He wants us to get the gospel to the unsaved, to the lost. He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to get closer to Him and have more fellowship with Him. He wants us to grow in certain areas. Maybe we're kind of weakened with other people and with ourselves. I'm thinking of people today that get discouraged and despondent. Well, if you're a born-again Christian, you don't need to be despondent. You know, there's always, I've said this to my kids, you know, about the world. When they were getting ready to be adults and go out in the world, I said this to them. When things get tough, you keep going and you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. The worst thing that Christians do to themselves is give up on themselves. They lose the victory. And in this passage, you say, Brother Tim, I'm in that spot right now. I'm at my wit's end. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Victory. He will keep doing it. So if I'm discouraged, if I'm downhearted, if I'm depressed, he's not giving up on me. I'm not going to give up on him. Amen? Amen? Because like I said before, that is the worst thing that Christians do to themselves. Brother Tim, I'm a failure. I'm not a success. You're alive, right?
Yeah.
You're born again, right? You have eternal life, right?
Yeah.
You have Jesus in your heart.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about? Why are you downhearted? The world could say that of themselves because they don't have hope. They try to have hope in other things. And when they get to that tunnel, they think it's blocked off. But you, who are born again Christian, you have the light of Jesus. You have all the hope in the world. You have victory. It's at the end of this book, we win. We win. Then why aren't you winning?
Brother Tim, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's awful.
What's so awful?
Well, I don't know. I don't have have a lot of money, and
praise be to Jesus. You got a lot going for you than a lot of people out there. And you have a testimony and a life to tell them about. I just told you a little bit of my Christian life. I guarantee if you went across this auditorium right now, there are stories even more convicting and encouraging than mine. I was just a little bus kid from Sunnyvale 40 years ago. Who couldn't look people in the eye. Couldn't shake people's hands real good. Those people I talked to you about, they helped me with that. And you know why? Because God sent them my way to build Tim Sparks. Let me ask you another question. Are you folks builders like Jim and John Kellogg? I can give you a whole list of people that built my life with God showing, directing them my way. And that's one of the things I vowed to do. In fact, did I give you point number three? I said, no, I didn't. So that's my fault. Point number three. This very thing in continuing will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It continues. I want to encourage you folks to do this. I want to encourage you folks to be like Jim and John to other people. Blessing them, encouraging them. If they need to take them out to eat, take them out to eat. Pray with them. Be a blessing to them. We can. I'd say I'm being confident when I say this. I'd say probably most of the people in this room who are adults 40 and up have been saved probably at least 20 years or more. And I want to encourage you folks, because you know better than anybody else the needs of other people in our church and people in your community. One of the people that I work with, I'm trying to be a blessing to. For the Lord, I don't know whether they're saved or not. But I'm trying to be a blessing to them and an encouragement to them, because someone's been an encouragement to me. I want to reciprocate what they did. So let me ask you this. Do you want to do that? Is that the kind of Christianity you want to be? Is that what God is doing with you? Let me read you. I'm not going to sing this. But I want to read this to you. This is the song I wasn't going to sing or thinking about singing. That's a blessing enough as it is. I can't even say it. It's Wednesday night. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, what I need to be. I took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. He's still working on me. Can you say that about the life you've had as a Christian so far? Can you say that as a Christian, you're trying to help others, working on them? Some of you folks don't realize it, but you've been working on Tim Sparks. This young man up here. You've been a blessing to me. And you've helped me. I think of Crooked Creek as a family. We're just a big family. A little sometimes disoriented, but we're a family. We care about each other. I remember the times when I've been in the hospital and someone will show up and be a blessing. I'm kind of half out of it. I'm on morphine or whatever, and they come by, but they're a blessing. In these coming days, we see all these things, crazy stuff we see with the governments and all that kind of business in the country. We need each other more than ever. We need each other to help each other, build each other, encourage each other. and others, they're outside these walls. They need us. Please, remember this. This very thing. Let's pray.